Well, last we were together, we were looking at John chapter 4, and we saw the woman who came to the well and how Jesus met her, that he was in the right place at the right time with the right word. You remember that? And that we can be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our walk. We're not walking around like a shot in the dark. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We can be guided by him in the smallest and the greatest details of life. We don't want to miss that. We can enjoy God and see what God is doing. Well, we saw that Jesus shared with this woman. He showed her that he invited her to come to a relationship with him, that he was that water of life, that springing up into everlasting life that would be hers. He created an interest. He showed her her sin. He spoke about her living situation. And he revealed that he was the Son of God. I to speak to you am he. She was so excited that she left her water pot, right? She left, and it was a statement that is. She was willing to leave behind that which would have been the most important reason why she was there in the first place, because she found a greater water. She really found that living water, and she went and shared with everyone and said, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And so this is where we come in to the passage. Then they went out of the city and came to him. So the woman's testimony counted for something. Now that's something, because considering her lifestyle, some wonder that anybody responded. But listen, the devil will always tell you that nobody's interested. The devil will always tell you, don't say a word about Jesus here, because you'll be made fun of, or at least they have no interest in the things of God. Listen, if there's anybody that had no interest in the things of God, it was me. If there was anybody that would be opposed to the things of God, it was me. And yet, some guy took the chance of coming to talk to me at my workplace, and he had no idea I looked like a rough, scraggy creature from some other planet. But he still came, and he began to talk to me about Jesus Christ, and God used him. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. No one thought that I was seeking God, or looking for God, or that God was chasing me. But God saved me marvelously, wonderfully, powerfully, and he used that man's testimony, who was willing to come and to speak to me. And I'm convinced when he left that he thought to himself, man, I made a mistake, because I told him to get lost. I told him he was a nutcase. But the conviction that came over me as a result of that man's testimony would not leave me alone. 2 days later, I was saved. So don't underestimate what God can do. You might say, well, I've spoken to 100 people before and not one of them have listened. It might be the 101st person, okay? It might be. We don't know. It might be the 102nd. But think of one soul for eternity being with God forever. And think of the gratitude and the overwhelming love that they would have for you to know you're the one. You were willing to take that risk to come and talk to me. Step out of your comfort zone. Difficult as it can be, and we'll be surprised what God can do. They went out of the city, and they came to him. They came because she gave a testimony of what God had done in her life. Like the man who was demon-possessed in Mark chapter 5, he went out to the 10 cities of Decapolis area, and he told what great things the Lord had done for him. And people were marveled, and they were amazed. God wants to use you with your testimony. You could say, well, gee, what was that woman? She was no preacher. Of course, she wasn't. She was a loose living woman, but God used her to declare the gospel to the Samaritan people. Well, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Remember, the disciples were so distressed when they saw him talking with this woman in the first place. What is he doing talking with this Samaritan woman? So they urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. They said, Rabbi, you got to have some food. He was weary. Remember, he was weary. Remember, he went by the well. He was thirsty. He was hungry. The disciples had gone to buy food, and they come back with the food, and Jesus is not eating. And they say, Rabbi, eat. You got to eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. He said, I've got food that's more important. And this food that I've got to eat, you don't know about. So therefore, the disciples said to one another, John 4:33, has anyone brought him anything to eat? What's he talking about? Where's he got this food at? They couldn't see any food. Then Jesus says to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What Jesus was saying is, I've got something more important on the go here, friends. This is more important than my daily bread. Is the gospel that important to us? Is it that important that it's foremost in our minds? Is it that important that we are thinking about ways of sharing the gospel with our neighbors and friends? Is it that important that we are actually taking time to pray? We certainly make sure we take time to eat. I'm proof of that. And so is Francis. And so is a lot of other people here. We make sure we take time to eat. And Jesus was saying, this gospel work, this sharing the good news with others, is as important as the food that I eat. Indeed, more important. Do we think that way? Have we drifted so far away from the kind of Christianity that Jesus urges us to live that we just go about our daily stuff and it's really easy to be busy in our world? And we have so much opportunity to be involved in recreation that there's no time for the gospel. No, these other things are so much more important. Where have we gone? And what are we missing? Because Jesus said it was food for his soul. Do you know when you share the gospel with someone, it feeds your own soul in a marvelous way. It does something to you. Even if they don't listen, it still blesses your own soul. This confession of Jesus Christ with our bodies, with our mouth, with our minds, with our hearts, it affects us and we grow in the gospel. I have found that I get stale and shriveled when I stop sharing Jesus Christ with people. I find when I begin sharing with Jesus with people, I'm reminded of how great my God is. I'm reminded of what he has done for me. I'm reminded of what he can do for the person that I'm sharing with. I'm reminded of the glorious truths of the gospel, which never grow old, friends. They never grow old. Share those truths, think about them, and look for those opportunities as we saw last week. The disciples, their focus was just on the physical food. Well, you know, where did he get that food from? How can he say that he's got other food? Did anybody bring him something to eat? No, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is a greater work. I know I like this illustration because food's so important to us, right? It really is. Food is so important. We spend a lot of time around food, talking about food, catching food, eating food, cooking food, can't wait to get to that food over there, right? Sharing food. And there's nothing wrong with eating, and there's nothing wrong with food. But Jesus is just saying, look, if you could pay at least some attention to this food of sharing the gospel with others, it'll bless your soul. Better food. It's true, friends. Do not say, Jesus said, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Don't say, in 4 months' time the harvest is going to come. John 4:35. Behold, I say to you, lift your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You know what? I know the devil has told you there's not going to be a harvest in Dingwall and in Bay St. Lawrence. I know he said that. It's hard ground, stony ground. Hard, plant the seed, doesn't seem to be much fruit. Maybe a little bit of a spark here and there, and then suddenly it seems like it goes out again. And sometimes our own little fire gets pretty dim, doesn't it? It does. But listen, Jesus said the fields are white. Now, I don't believe that he just said that for the disciples. I believe the fields are always white. I believe that there's someone out there ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that we can share with people. We ought to be thinking, how can I share the gospel with my neighbors and my friends? Go and get some gospel tracts. I'll bring some for you to be able to give out. The little gospel stories with a message. Give them to your friends. Share with them. Tell them how much Jesus means to you. The devil is going to scream at you and say, whatever you do, don't do that. You're going to get alienated. You're alien enough. Now you're going to look like you're from Jupiter or something. But share Jesus Christ. You won't regret doing that. And you might be surprised who will find faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, don't say in 4 months' time, there'll be a harvest. Don't think, well, somewhere down the road, there's going to be a harvest of souls. I hope there will be someday. But Jesus says, right now, the fields are white. Right now, the grain is falling. Right now, look for the opportunity to share the gospel. The people that God brings into your sphere, into your circle, are people that nobody else perhaps will ever touch with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has put you there. He has given you that opportunity, just as Jesus did with this woman at the well. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may, what? Rejoice together. That this is a wonderful thing. Yes, weeping endures for the night. Yes, we'll go out weeping, bearing precious seed. That's what the psalmist writes and says, he who goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing the sheaves or the harvest with him. Doubtless, he says, share that harvest. You don't know what the salvation of one soul can do. We have no idea. As I've shared the gospel with people over the years, some people have gotten saved. I recently had a lady write me a letter. Maybe I shared this with you. About a month ago, I got this little letter in the mail with a Bible in it. A little New Testament, a little black King James New Testament. And when I was first saved, my sister had brought home a friend from Ontario. Her name was Dixie. And she was planting trees with my sister somewhere in the Highlands or whatever for a few weeks. And I shared the gospel with her. And I gave her this little New Testament. And this is 30 years ago. 30 years later, I get a little letter in the mail. And somehow, because my address was on the inside of that little black Bible, she had used it, she had come to faith in Jesus Christ, and then she moved on. It was one of those little, you know, small little ones, and she had put it away somewhere, hadn't seen it for years. And then one day she said, I was cleaning stuff up, and I opened it, and I looked, oh, there's that little Bible. And she saw my address. She sent it back to me to tell me that she had been following Jesus Christ, and that her son was going to be graduating from Bible school to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who knows how many souls will be saved through his ministry? We don't know. You don't know the life that you touch and where that will multiply to. We have no idea. The salvation of one soul causes an ongoing effect, a domino effect, where that one person then becomes a light to their sphere of people. We never know where it will end. We don't know. George Verwer is a man who started a mission all over the world. And it's called Operation Mobilization. You've probably heard of it. They have ships that go and travel and share the gospel in many places. We have people, I'm sure, I think Wilma went with that mission many years ago. And George Verwer was going to a high school, a godless high school in a city. And there was an old woman next to that school. And she prayed, Lord, save one young person from that school. That was her ministry. She prayed, save one young person from that school who will impact the world for Jesus Christ. That's exactly what God did. He saved George Verwer. He only found out many years later that there was a godly old lady just next to that school, and that was the one prayer that God had put on her heart, and she prayed it for years. And God answered that prayer. George Verwer affected the world for Jesus Christ. Do we know that it's harvest time? Are we looking for the opportunities that God gives us in prayer and in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Bible says he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. So he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. There is a time of sowing, and sometimes it's a difficult time, and sometimes it seems like the harvest is never going to come. But a farmer always sows in hope, doesn't he? Or he wouldn't sow at all. Why would you put seed in the ground if you didn't think there was going to be a harvest? Of course, it's, you know, if I went out to the garden and I put seed down there, and sometimes that's true. If you take a little person out and you say, okay, I'm going to plant this seed, and after a while, it's going to grow into a plant. Well, you know what happens the next day? The kid's out there looking for the plant, right? Well, where's it at? How come it didn't come up yet? Well, we're like that, aren't we? Yes. We are. A seed planted, a word spoken, but in the power of the Holy Spirit may take its effect maybe years later. We don't know when. But God will involve us in the sowing and in the reaping so that it's a joint effort. It's a word that somebody shares here, and then another word that someone else shares there. And maybe that person might come into contact with six or seven people before the gospel takes effect in that person's life. There have been times when I run into somebody and I have this incredibly strong impression to pray for that person. That's all, just to pray for that person. And that's exactly what I do. And I might not remember the next day who it was or what the circumstances were, but God never forgets. There may be a circumstance where I'll just share the gospel with someone. And I don't remember having done it. I've had people come to me and say, "You shared the gospel with me this many years ago, and I got saved." I remember, I think it was Wilma who told me, Wilma Buchanan, who said she went to a weekend by Bible camp. And at that weekend at Bible camp, they had some speakers in, and they really weren't sharing the gospel. And I told the guy who was there, I says, "How come you're not sharing the gospel?" "Well, we just want to be friends with people." I said, "But what about the gospel? Why don't you share?" Anyway, I got my chance. There was an evening campfire, and anybody could share. Well, I got up, and I shared how I had been saved, and I shared how to be saved. And Wilma got saved. She got saved. Because somebody shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I never knew that till years later. I met Wilma and found out she was saved. And then later on, it was only later she told me, "Well, I want to tell you how I got saved. This is how it happened." God can use your testimony, your witness, to see people saved. "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you've entered into their labors." John the Baptist had been laboring. John the Baptist was sharing the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul, later on, he meets some disciples of John, and he shares the gospel with them. They had come to realize they needed repentance, and they knew all of that, but they didn't know what faith in Jesus Christ could do, and Paul shares with them, and they come into the full understanding. What you share today, somebody else will follow up on tomorrow, because that's the way God works. We are not alone in all of this. And so God is more than able to cause that to take place. So it says in John 4:39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word that the woman had testified." Many believed in him. Why? Because of what she had said. Many believed in him. Oh, take the risk. Take the risk and share. Yes.
But even if you just say to somebody,
"Jesus loves you." Yes. Yes, it's true. Look for the opportunity to share the gospel clearly. Sometimes you won't have that opportunity at that time, but take the risk to go a little farther than you have. Because people need to know that Jesus died for their sins. They need to know they need a Savior. And so the result of it is that many of the Samaritans in that city believed because of the word with the woman testified. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. They said, "Don't leave. We want to hear from you. We want to experience you." And many more believed because what? Because of his own word. Many more believed in his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, but for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Friends, this is the way it ought to be. We share Jesus Christ with people. And in one sense, we get out of the way so that they actually get exposed to Jesus Christ. We're pointers. We're pointing people to Christ. We are sharing so that others may know Jesus. We can share about ourselves. We can share what our experiences are. That's what this woman did. But ultimately, it's for the purpose that they would know Jesus. So they would hear the voice of God. So they would hear the word of God. Yes. That's right. Absolutely. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." "Master, that one who you're speaking about beyond Jordan, they're baptizing more disciples than you." What did John say? Remember? "He must increase, I must decrease." Let's get out of the way so that we can point people to Jesus. That's what she did. "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." And then she went back with them because they're speaking to the woman. She's there. Oh, don't think she didn't come back to hear more of the words of Jesus Christ. She wanted to be around the things of God. But those people said, "We believe now, not just because of what you have said. We have met him for ourselves."
And that is why
Absolutely. Yes. There's no such thing as secondhand faith. You can't get your faith from somebody else. You have to get it directly from Jesus Christ. They can be a witness and they can point you to Jesus, but you need to enter into that relationship for yourself. We believe and know indeed that this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, friends, it's harvest time. It's harvest time today. It's harvest time tomorrow. Somebody needs your prayers. Somebody needs a word from you. Young children need to hear about Jesus Christ. Old people need to hear. People who are heading for the grave. People who are dying. People who are living. Everybody. Everybody needs to hear about Jesus. Share the gospel. We can say, Lord, we want the gospel. We want people to be saved. We want people to be saved. Share the gospel. Do that as you pray. Be bold. Trust the Lord. It's really harvest time. You take time to eat. Take time to share. You'll be surprised. You might get persecuted. Things might happen to you. But it's worth it to see one soul in God's heaven. It's worth it. It really is harvest time. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for the truth of it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can share this wonderful message of the gospel. We can see people saved and that they can experience a living and real relationship with Jesus. One soul saved is worth whatever it takes. Open our eyes to that truth, Lord, and give us a fresh passion today to share this good news with a broken world. Lord, take us to those people. Take us to that place, that by the well, to that one person, Lord, whoever it might be, and give us a clear opportunity to point to people to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not just to come to a church service, but something more, to personally and wonderfully share our relationship with Jesus. Father, we pray, stir up our own hearts, stir up this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. I want to sing a song for you. It's one that I heard just shortly after I was saved, and it's called Keep It Burning. God held the light in the palm of his hand, and then he knelt on earth, became the light of man. And Jesus is that light, shining all alone, like a beacon in the distance, showing the way home. Keep on burning, burning brighter, till the darkness slowly fades away. When you hold a light and you share it with a friend, you start a candle burning whose flame will never end. As Jesus lights their life, we are sisters and brothers, and now that we can see, we can help one another. Keep on burning, burning brighter, till the darkness slowly fades away. Well, all through the world, tiny lights are burning. We were lost and wandering, now to the light we're turning. So care for the light, don't you let it grieve away. For we have been entrusted with the coming light of day. Keep on burning, burning brighter, till the darkness slowly fades away. Dear God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give us opportunity this week to be lights in a dark world. God, do marvelous things. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we feel weak. Sometimes we're in despair. Sometimes we're discouraged, Lord. But remind us today that the fields are white. Remind us today, O God, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. You said you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Well, Lord, if we're lacking the Spirit's power, then send your Spirit upon us. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Overwhelm us with the Holy Spirit, that we might, Lord, go with this gospel message with confidence in a mighty God to save. We are going to see souls, Lord. We are waiting to see souls saved in this community. Lord, we cry out in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will stir us up, and by your Holy Spirit's power, you will take us out and do something for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.